New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty, and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
A Factual Data Creation Facility production.
Welcome to the OFNT podcast, episode 247, which I'm calling New Tech and Delivery Woes. I have some new tech to talk about this week and would have had more if the delivery services in this area were better. And it's been cold down here, colder than New York due to a freak cold front. We even had a bit of snow.
What?
Yeah, that's something we weren't expecting and hopefully are done with. The transition to our new abode is going fine. And our old New York place is officially in contract with the sale estimated to be completed later this month. That's way faster than we ever imagined it would be. Well, to quote Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck, on with the show once again.
What's up, Doc? You're despicable.
Tech news. The tech industry is in holiday mode, so there's not much happening this week. I'll start off this semi-barren tech news section with news items about the giant fruit company. First story, from an article on the MacRumors.com website, the headline reads, quote, quo, new HomePod with smart home display arriving in late 2025, unquote. A rendering attached to the article shows a full-sized HomePod with a fully functioning touchscreen in the space occupied by the Siri indicator on current models, but I don't think this is what Apple has in mind. The basis of this article is based on supply chain analyst Supreme, one Ming-Chi Kuo. Now, old Mr. Kuo changed jobs a while ago and seemed to drop off a bit, but he's making a comeback. Earlier, he made the prediction that this new Wonder HomePod would be releasing towards the end of 2024. But now he says it's been delayed until 2025. Well, no kidding. He attributes the delay to software development challenges, not hardware problems. You know, I have a hard time believing that. One thing Apple can brag about is their software prowess. It's not like they're writing home automation software from scratch. If previous rumors are true, Apple will be using the well-established Matter home automation standard. And all they would have to do is migrate the company's own HomeKit standard to it. I think the delay is most likely due to hardware, especially the display. Displays are probably the largest expense for Apple when it comes to hardware. They're stuck with LG for phone and computer screens and Samsung for large OLED screens. In the past, Apple has attempted to manufacture their own screens but decided it wasn't worth their trouble. Then they tried to partner with a Chinese screen maker whose name escapes me at the moment that led to disastrous outcomes with the Chinese screen manufacturer's CEO being summoned to Cupertino, where he and his company were kicked out of the partnership. It seems they were cooking the books by overstating specifications and understating quality control issues. I think Apple is biding their time, looking for a deal on screens. They may also be trying to decide what this screened HomePod will actually look like. The US-based leaker Mark Gurman suggests that this new Amazon Echo competitor will either be a HomePod with an iPad stuck on it, or a HomePod with a screen held by a robotic arm. You know, neither one appeals to me. And speaking of Amazon, AppleInsider.com reports that Apple is considering the use of Amazon chips for training future Apple intelligence models. According to the article, last week, Apple disclosed that they are using Amazon's Trainium and Graviton chips for handling consumer search queries, and Apple has been impressed with the results. Since using the Amazon chips, searches have been made 40% more efficient. Take that, Intel. Apple has been so impressed with these chips that they are considering using them to pre-train its AI models. It's been common knowledge that Apple has used Google's designed hardware in the past to build Apple's foundation model. What's not known is whether Apple actually bought the hardware or rented it from the Big G. Either way, you know it was expensive to do so. Though these Apple intelligence models being trained using other companies' hardware might be concerned for privacy, Apple assures us that all AI processes are either handled on device or in the cloud using its private cloud compute feature. Call me what you will, but at this stage of the game, I just don't see the point of AI. This next story from 9to5Mac.com sort of warms my heart. Does anybody remember the touch bar that equipped MacBook Pros not too long ago? Well, I sure do. I owned one of those particular MacBook Pros. I like the touch bar, unlike super users and geeks who occupy a higher level than myself, who hated the darn thing. They begged and threatened Apple to reinstate the old-fashioned F keys. Normies, as they're called, hated the touch bar. That's because they associated it with the horrible butterfly keyboard these laptops were equipped with. While the new laptop keyboards are much better, to me, they're just not much better than the butterfly keyboard that came with my 2019-ish MacBook Air, which had no touch bar. I always thought that the touch bar was a good idea, but was never properly supported by developers or by Apple itself. I'm more of a hunt-and-peck sort of typist, though lately I've become more of a hybrid typer. Either way, I don't have my eye on the screen at all times, so the special functions that the touch bar allowed were convenient for me, especially while word processing. It seems that I wasn't alone in thinking that the touch bar had potential, evidenced by a Kickstarter campaign being started for a contraption called the Flex Bar. Think of the Flex Bar as a touch bar separate from the computer that is attached via a USB connector. In this case, it's USB Type-C. The Flex Bar is compatible with Macs, Windows machines, and mobile devices. It's made from aluminum and comes with an aluminum magnetic stand. To become part of the Kickstarter, you'll have to be willing to plunk down between $119 to $149. And when released to the market, it'll cost $179. Now, I'm not willing to spend my money on the Flex Bar just yet. I'll wait and see how the reviews go and what developers actually code for it. AndroidAuthority.com has the following headline, quote, "Your Aura Ring can now tell you if you're about to get sick," unquote. I've talked before about the second generation of the Aura Ring's uncanny ability to predict oncoming illnesses for me, even if I felt fine. The third and now fourth Ring's versions seem to have lost that magic ability for me, but maybe my body is just weird.
Yes.
Oh, shut up. The article states that Aura is rolling out a feature called Symptom Radar to users of the Aura Ring 3 and 4, starting September 11th.
Yay!
Symptom Radar will be able to detect early signs of sickness by evaluating changes in fitness data. It will monitor specific metrics such as skin temperature, average temperature trends, respiratory and resting heart rate, HRV, and inactive time.
Huh?
Yeah, I don't get the inactive time thing either. Aura will correlate this data along with the user's age to determine signs of bodily strain.
Okay.
If the ring detects a deviation over time, it will tell you to focus on resting for a few days. Symptom Radar will display no signs, minor signs, or major signs on the Aura app daily. Well, this all sounds great, doesn't it?
Yes.
Well, not so fast. At the end of last year, I enrolled in a beta test for Symptom Radar and was very excited for it. However, it never did anything. No sign status display, nothing. Predicting illnesses? Not at all. Since switching to the Aura 4, I'm no longer enrolled in the Symptom Radar Beta. I hope that Aura's release of this Symptom Radar feature results in re-enabling the ability of the ring to predict oncoming illnesses, like the old Series 2 did in my case anyway. Check I'm using. Everything is working fine in regards to my Peloton indoor cycle, which was formerly my last new tech acquisition. I say formerly because it's been eclipsed by new tech arrivals, which I'll talk about more later. It's nice to finally have an indoor cycle that actually fits my weird body shape. I have long legs with normal length arms. That's probably due to the scoliosis I inherited from my mother's side of the family. Without it, I'd probably be a couple of inches taller. I consider myself lucky, though. Other family members have a worse version of it. Anyway, I've noticed the Peloton doesn't have as many live rides as they used to. Not that I take many of them, but wasn't that the whole point of Peloton? Which was to give users a live boutique cycling studio experience from the comfort of their own homes?
Yes.
I do see many live strength, walk, run, and row classes, so I guess that's where the company's focus is on nowadays. This is the reason why I was tempted to go with arch rival Echelon, who boasts 30 live rides from studio around the United States daily. Sure, the production quality isn't as good as Peloton, but I could have lived with that. The problem I found with Echelon is the company's hardware. I've read review after review of various models of Echelon bikes breaking and how it often takes months for them to be repaired. Like I said in the last episode, the way to go would be to purchase a gym-quality indoor cycle from the likes of Schwinn or Stages, get yourself a 12-inch tablet or even use a 32-inch television, and use the digital app from Peloton or Echelon with it. I've used Peloton's digital app for years before getting an actual Peloton bike, and that was just fine. Of course, you won't get the full experience or metrics doing it that way, but you'll get most of them. In the past, I've seen Peloton instructors calling out milestones of digital app users, but that seems to be the exception. For my 1,000th Peloton ride a month or so ago, I took a live class with my favorite instructor, hoping to get such a call out. Now, I know in the grand scheme of things, a call out from a stranger who's in London doesn't mean anything, but it would be nice being recognized for an accomplishment. While the instructor did call out a lot of milestones, mine just wasn't amongst them. Now, I wasn't upset, but I'd be lying to you if I told you I wasn't a tad disappointed. Another thing about going the different hardware route is trying to figure out the correct resistance. While using my old Soul indoor cycle with Peloton's digital app, in order to approximate the resistance the Peloton instructor was giving, I had to quickly do math in my head, as Peloton has 100 resistance levels, while the Soul bike had but 52. So if the instructor called for, let's say, a resistance of 32, I'd set the Soul's resistance to 16. That seemed to work fine, but of course, it didn't take into consideration of how the resistance for each brand of bike was calibrated. I found myself having to start from scratch using the new Peloton cycle. I'm back to taking advanced beginners classes because I can't keep up with the regular classes. Speaking of classes, my favorite instructors are from Peloton's London studios. That's mostly because of the music they play. My taste is more aligned to theirs. In the past, the London studio put out classes consistently, be it pre-recorded or live. Now you're lucky if one live class appears on the schedule and the library of pre-recorded classes is dwindling. I guess budgetary considerations are the cause of this. Who knows? In some good news, I can now clip out of the bike with ease, but I must admit, clicking in is a pain in the butt for me. And I'm starting to hate having to clip in or out of the bike altogether. I'm sure I'll eventually get used to it. Hopefully. Another new piece of tech that arrived last week was a Bratosti weather station.
What?
If you've been listening to me rambling on here week after week, besides having my sympathy, you'd know about my constant search for a weather app that could be as great as the now-defunct Dark Skies weather app. I think I found that with the T.io weather app, but that has nothing to do with the Bratosti weather station. Over the years, I've had bedside weather stations that, besides the temperature, would be able to predict precipitation, which was important for me because of my fairly long commute to work. The last weather station of this type I had even projected the time, temperature, and precipitation onto the ceiling above my bed. Even my lovely wife appreciated that, and she's sort of a Luddite. Unfortunately, these items were expensive, and with the advent of Amazon's Echo and the like, I no longer had a need for them. However, I've always longed for a complete weather station that did more than just tell the time, temperature, and conditions. In the past, these weather stations were very expensive, well over $100. But thanks to modern technology and slave labor from so-called third world nations,
yes,
the prices of these items have fallen low enough for the peasant class to afford them. Now, there are many models of these weather stations to choose from, all very similar to each other, with the only things differentiating them are brand name, screen size, and the order of how information is displayed on the screen. Well, they're probably all cranked out from the same factory. The one I chose wasn't the cheapest, but it wasn't the most expensive one either. I chose based on the number and ratings of the reviews it had on Amazon. The bad one-star reviews were mainly from buyers that didn't bother reading the instruction manual, thinking you just plugged the station in and everything said itself. Oh, the screen size that I chose was 7-inch. When you first set the weather station up, you have to enable the atomic clock radio, the time zone, measurement methods for temperature, you know, centigrade or the heathen Fahrenheit, barometric pressure, time zone, DST, and city, amongst other things. If you live out in the boondocks like myself, either you select the major city nearest you or enter the longitude and latitude of where you're located. That's easily found using a thing called the internet. Ever hear of it? I chose the latter for accuracy's sake. You can also set up the included remote sensor for outdoor temperatures if you desire. I set mine up and placed it between a window and a screen, well within the limits of its transmitter. The setup can be considered a lengthy task, made harder by the instruction manual, which was obviously translated from an Asian language.
China.
I can see how some people would grow frustrated with the process, hence the bad reviews some gave. Once set up, it takes about a day or so for everything to settle in and be accurate. But once the unit does settle in, there's no need to mess with it. So far, the weather station's accuracy is better than a couple of my weather apps and on par with the aforementioned T.io app. I think it's well worth the $40 I paid for it. Apple Watch 10 in the house! Did I sound like Oprah Winfrey introducing Kamala Harris during a recent election event?
Yes.
No.
My lovely wife and I decided to order our Christmas gifts early to beat the Christmas rush, and I figured it would take a while for delivery like everything else here. So we ordered our watches on Wednesday, getting upset about the paltry trade-in value of our old Series 7s that Apple gave us. Though my Series 7 watch has cellular service, which I paid extra for, I received the same trade-in value as my wife's non-cellular capable watch.
What?
To our surprise, the estimated delivery day was a Friday.
Wrong.
Yeah, our watches actually made it to us by Thursday.
Wow.
See? It is possible to get things we order here in a timely fashion. The watches are slimmer than our old Series 7 watches, and the screens are larger as well as brighter. Being that my old watch was running the latest public beta, I had to set it up as a new watch instead of using the latest backup. It really didn't make a difference. The watch face I've used since the Series 3 is a customized version of the utility face. Well, while Apple still does have the utility face, it updated it and doesn't allow as much information to be placed on the display as the old one did. So I did the best to approximate the old face as well as I could. The dull black color of the older model's watch cases has been replaced with a shiny black version, which I thought I wouldn't care for when I first saw it during the introduction video. But now that I have it, I don't mind it that much. There really isn't much in the way of new features with the Series 10 model, and I'm still wishing for an Apple Band that could provide the basics of the watch so I could start wearing my Swiss mechanical watches in tandem with it. This next item I'm going to talk to you about is both ridiculous and sad at the same time. Back on November 15th, I took advantage of an early Black Friday sale from LG, the Korean television, amongst other things, manufacturer. I ordered a 75-inch television, which also included free delivery and installation. I was given an estimated delivery date for the TV of December 6th. I received the wall mounting bracket the following week and scheduled installation for December 7th. Well, the television shipped, I'm guessing from Korea, on the 1st of December and arrived at the local shipper on the 4th of December. I received an email and text from this local delivery service in order to schedule said delivery. I scheduled it for early morning on the 6th. As part of the service, I was supposed to get a phone call the day before confirming the day and time of delivery. And that's a phone call that never came. Concerned, I called the local delivery service and was told that my particular delivery had been rescheduled for the 26th of the month.
What the hell?
A full 20 days later. This delivery service is located outside the city of Knoxville, which is about an hour and a half drive from where I reside. I couldn't fathom it taking 20 days, 22 if you count when the television arrived in Knoxville, to deliver my item. While sympathetic, the customer service rep told me that she was sorry I was given an erroneous delivery date, but the 26th was the earliest date I could expect delivery. She then said if any earlier delivery dates become available, she would let me know. Yeah, like, that's ever gonna happen.
Nope.
After getting off the phone with her, I called LG customer service, not to try and get an earlier delivery date, but to lodge a complaint about the local delivery service they use. But as you can imagine, I got nowhere. As soon as I finished the call with LG, I rescheduled the installation for December 27th. My lovely wife was upset at this news, and I reminded her that we no longer live in New York, and one of the few advantages we left behind when we moved here was quick delivery services. Amazon doesn't even have two-day delivery service here, much less same or one-day delivery of orders. We're lucky if our items are delivered within 4 days, which has us really considering canceling our Prime membership, which we've had since 1999. We seldom watch Prime Video either. In the future, this may change as the city we live in is rapidly expanding. Well, time will tell.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Entertainment news. Well, I really have nothing I can talk about as far as entertainment goes this week. I've been busy. I thought I'd be able to watch some stuff on my new television set on its big, beautiful screen this week.
No, dear, that's wrong.
And don't I know it, random female voice from the internet? Well, we all know it now.
Yeah.
I did manage to watch the movie Smile 2, which started off great, but sort of petered out as it went along. I also started watching the television series The Jackal and Landman, both which I like. I've also heard about a new series called The Agency, which is based upon the French series The Bureau, and reminds reviewers of the now-canceled series Berlin Station. The Agency is a spy thriller kind of drama set in London. Yeah, I like these kind of stories, but for many it can get somewhat boring. So, for me lately, YouTube have been my main source of entertainment. Podcast news. Podcasting Incorporated, like most industries, are currently in holiday mode, but some things did happen. First up, according to podnews.net, podcast hosting company Acast, which seems to be growing at Spotify levels during Podcasting Incorporated's heyday, has just acquired Wonder Media Network, and that's a New York-based podcast production studio. Wonder Media Network, which considers itself, quote, woman-centric, unquote, was founded by a couple of former minor league mainstream media types who probably didn't fare so well on whatever radio's equivalent of a casting couch is.
Ouch.
That's kind of mean, isn't it?
Yes!
What can I tell you? I'm in a bad mood. Well, anyway, it's staffed by, wait for it, an all-women team. Of course, the studio is political and falls to a particular side and ideology. Well, that's modern college-educated journalist for you.
Yes.
I guess this acquisition signals the further entry of Acast into the realm of a podcast production, as the company just opened its own production studio in London. All I can say to that is, good luck, bro. Most of the podcast dramas I listen to are hosted by Acast. I guess they'll be producing some of their own in the future. From podcastbusinessjournal.com, which is owned by podcast.net, if you want to know, OG podcast hosting service Libsyn is up to its old ways as the company has decided to keep itself delisted from the stock market exchanges. Libsyn was delisted in 2022 after failing, or perhaps refusing is a better word here, to file financial reports. Libsyn has offered to buy back public held shares in the company for $1.60 each, or less. Probably less. Though its shares were worth $3.75 before being delisted. Libsyn used to be the largest podcast host in the world, but its shaky leadership made equally shaky deals with shady Chinese companies, at one point actually merging with a Chinese audio and video pirating outfit. Over the years, most big shows, which brought in the most cash for Libsyn, have left, taking their revenue with them. The only big name that I can think of that still hosts on Libsyn is Michael Savage, who's in the twilight of his career. Mr. Savage was a top syndicated talk radio host until the late mid-2000s before being let go. These days, he mainly posts videos to YouTube, which he later turns into audio podcasts. When I was first starting out, I was pointed towards Libsyn, but was not a fan of their archaic website and expensive hosting plans. So if you're starting a podcast, stay far away from Libsyn. Finally, all the big media mavens and consultants seem to be trying to push audio-only podcasters into video lately, and they are doing it in unison. Not a day goes by where at least one article or interview appears on my newsfeed featuring some media mogul espousing the need and advantages for podcasters to do so. I, as well as many other podcasters, including the Podfather himself, Mr. Adam Curry, believe that if a show isn't distributed via an RSS feed, then it isn't a podcast, no matter what you might call it. It's a show, not a podcast. But why this big, apparently coordinated push for the migration of audio podcasts to video? Well, I can't say that I know for sure, but I have the feeling it's about control. With the introduction of Podcasting 2.0 and the Podcast Index, podcasts using them have become shielded from being canceled, and that's thanks to independent app developers and their new podcast listening apps. No matter how many platforms a podcast is thrown off of, you'll still have access to listen to it. And that's because these new podcast apps use, or at least give the option of using, the independently maintained Podcast Index. Though these new podcast apps aren't as sophisticated or as reliable as some of the big boys, you should keep one around along with your main listening app, just in case one of your favorite podcasts happens to get the boot. Well, that's what I do. Even if the powers that be figure out a way to ban podcasts from the Podcast Index, an emailed audio file could be used for distribution. The music is playing, and I'm afraid episode 247 of the OFNT podcast is winding down. Hope you enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed making it for you. If you like what you heard, you can always make a donation using the link in the show notes. Any and all donations will be greatly appreciated. You can always reach me at ofntpodcast@gmail.com if you're so inclined. I'd enjoy hearing from you. I really would. Drop me a line. Remember, don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do. Hey, it's warming up out there. But that's still not an excuse for you to be milling around my property, so get off my lawn. Stay skeptical. I'm out.
See ya.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase, limit two. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty, and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at tanger.com.